Lord, such a beautiful, beautiful song this morning. We do pray that you'll keep us, we know you will, as we call on your name. Keep our eyes above the waves and focused on you. You sustain your children. Oh, what an amazing God you are, and we thank you. So, Lord, as we spend a little time in your word, we just want to say, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. And may the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Yes, amen. It's such a little word, is it not? But in fact, it's the most common word in our Christian vocabulary. In fact, it's a word which is said to be perhaps the best known word in any language around the world. Yet by the same token, it's a word almost completely evacuated of its fuller and deeper meaning, and that it's come to signal nothing more than the end of something, has it not? Amen has been reduced to a verbal exclamation point on the long-awaited conclusion of a matter. A long drive across the country, you finally pull into your own garage and someone in your car says, amen. We've just emerged from the longest 30 minutes in the history of humanity. The sermon is finally over. Can I have a... Well, it's not over. I just began. And I'm not going to be held to the 30 minutes. So what does it mean when we say it? Well, in its most basic and frequent use, when we say amen, we are engaging our hearts and our minds in response to God, to his character, his will, and his work in this world. We're affirming it. We are saying by amen that God is the baseline for everything, all the time, every day, every way, everything about us. We are agreeing with him with our amen. The word amen is part of the language of faith. It's related to a word in the Old Testament for believe and trust, and also to words like faithfulness and steadfastness and dependability and firmness. And so when we say amen, we are speaking about confidently endorsing something as true and reliable. It's the biblical response of affirmation and acceptance. And in all the times it appears in the scripture, Old and New Testament, it carries the nuance, the conveyance of truth, reliability, trust, affirmation. In whatever context it's used, it's the speaker's endorsement of the preceding statement or event. It's interesting when you do a quick little word search on the word amen, the first six occurrences of the word amen in the Hebrew scriptures actually are attached to curses. Meaning, if God's people don't walk a certain way, don't think about God a certain way, don't trust God, there are certain conditions that fall upon the nation of Israel. The first positive affirmation of the use of amen comes in the succession of Solomon taking the reign from David. Interesting. But the whole point is it's an affirmation, not just about people, but about God who's directing, God who is king over all. So to say amen is to say we concur with all that's just been said, we stand by it, we stand on it. We wholeheartedly agree with it. May God bring it to pass. So be it. Now all that, and actually there's more, that's embedded and summed up by this little adverb, amen. There's a lot of weight and a lot of freight to it, and none of it is excess baggage. Amen is the necessary response of the soul, the faith-laden response to who God is, what God has done, what he will yet do. We concur with and affirm that we long for. When we say amen, we're acknowledging that our hearts ache for not something out of mere wish fulfillment, but for the completion, the consummation of his promises, which arise from his trustworthy character, and in fact will come to pass in his inscrutable timing. It's very interesting to note that the ancient Jews took the consonants that make up the word amen, and they used them as an acronym to say God, trustworthy king. And in this sense, that's what amen is ultimately. It's a declaration of the kingship of God over every detail of our lives. So, in this little pre-sabbatical message, I thought it'd be fitting today to highlight selected verses in the Bible to hear what God the King has promised to do and has done. I got a text message late last night from a former pastor of our church who will remain nameless, who's in the deep south in a state that begins with A and his last name's a T. I don't know who it was, but he suggested for my going away that I sing Madonna's Holiday, Cliff Richard's song along the same theme, and then the text led to a link to Weezer. I'm going to forego all those suggestions. I'm going to stick with the amen today. And what we're going to do is we're going to have actually a participatory sermon, which means you get to say the word amen a lot. And it's real simple, so we'll just practice now. Can I have a amen?
Amen.
Okay, good. I think you're good to go. So here we go. Genesis 3:15. Do we believe that God has a plan of redemption for humanity, a plan that he refuses to abandon, that he's bringing to pass? Hence, after Adam and Eve's descent into sin and the consequences therein, on a cosmic scale, the Lord God says in his inimitable plan, no, he didn't say amen yet, I'll tell you when, I'll raise a hand, I'll say something, you'll know. He says, I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. And so in setting forth that plan into motion, many millennia ago, God shockingly reveals himself to a moon worshiper, a man named Abram, completely upsetting, reorienting his life and the life of his clan. And he tells him, divorce your people, leave your country, go to the land I'll show you, and I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Do we marvel at and affirm God's gracious, amazing choice of this man and his seed? And you stand and sit today as a result of that legacy. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And then after Abraham's descendants were enslaved for 400 years in a land not their own, the Lord again, out of grace and mercy, used a privileged palace boy who becomes a murderer with a speech impediment to tell the Hebrews that their time of deliverance and bondage in Egypt is over. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And this is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. And do we affirm with Moses after the Exodus that God is full of compassion and mercy and loving kindness to generation after generation? Do we affirm that after the destruction of Pharaoh's army and the miraculous deliverance that God alone can bring, that there's no one like him? Do we affirm with the writer of Exodus, Moses, that who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. To this fundamental description of God the King who redeems, what do I hear?
Amen.
And amen is as much as saying, oh yes, God, he is God. He is utterly reliable. And we reaffirm this truth even when our own circumstances are scary and we are weary and are perplexed. And God's people, we know in the midst of all this, nonetheless are singularly distinct. And what marks them out, what signals their relationship with God, is their call to reflect God. Namely, Leviticus 19:2, the call to be holy and separate and pure for the sake of witness to the true and living God in the world in which we live. So Moses said to Israel, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And do we not, even in the midst of our own internal struggle with our sin, long for the day when our words and our deeds, our thoughts and our actions will be in harmony and alignment reflecting the holiness of God? Do we not long for that? Amen. And do we not realize and live for this preeminent thing day in, day out, that is to know the blessing of God's presence. The heartbeat of the Bible, the first chapter of Genesis, the closing chapter of Revelation is all about the presence of God. It is the defining thing that marks us out. We are filled with His Spirit because of the work of His Son. And so we want the Aaronic blessing to rest on us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face to you and give you peace. Truly, the foundation of our faith is built upon these very words that we are called to hear and affirm and obey. Words about the supremacy of God and the uniqueness of His people. Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohim Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with your heart and soul and strength, all of it. To this cornerstone of our faith we say, yes, we do not walk by faith in such a way that we refuse to trust, but to walk by faith is to trust in this one and only God who will shine the light of His character through us as we take up the other half of the great command to love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord, says God. We accept the words and the call of our Master and Savior who said these are the greatest commands. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And to this unified, unflinching, unwavering witness in demand of Scripture and its Lord, we say, amen. Do we believe the Lord when, as we do His will in this world, and face battles within and without, and at times feel frayed, crossing over into the territory of unraveling, do we believe Him when He says to His servant Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Do we not believe Jesus when He says, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth and the ends of the ages? Do we believe that?
Amen.
Do we agree that what God wants most from us is not dead ritual, but broken and contrite hearts that reflect His heart for the broken, the downtrodden, the marginalized, the weak, the weary, the sin-sick, hearts which take to heart Micah 6:8, He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. Can I have an amen? Do we believe that God chose not Jesse's older sons to be king, but instead, in a pattern repeated again and again, over and over in Scripture, undermining the power structures of that day and every day, reversing the structures of humanity, God chose the lesser, a boy named David, who walked after God's own heart, in order to show that God is sovereign and humility is reflective of our God? Do we believe that God, in keeping His covenant commitment to Israel and the nations of the world, told David, when your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish His kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. Do we believe that through the long years of obedience and long years of disobedience, the long years of blessing and even of exile in foreign lands, that God remained true to His promises. And in the fullness of time, He sent His Son into the world, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. He came as Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus, because this latter Joshua will save His people from their sins. In other words, do we believe that Jesus is the personal punctuating amen on the promises of God? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Jesus, who in the Gospels is recorded dozens of times using the word amen. Now, not simply because He's using religious jargon His peers understand or verbal excess. It's not simply because He's trying to underscore something that's important and put a little different twist on it. But when Jesus says, amen, amen, I say to you, it is an implicit claim to deity. He is reminding us that he is the Lord and God who conducts his entire ministry in full self-awareness, in word and deed, of the very authority of God, because he is the second person of the Trinity. The very Christology of Jesus is underscored by his own amen. Amen, amen. I say to you, you must be born again. And therefore, in recognition of this, in response to his deity, submission to his authority, we worship him with our own humble.
Amen.
So be it. It is true. Do we believe that the same Jesus served among his own who rejected him, even as he performed signs and wonders among them, expressed love and compassion to them, firmness, tenderness, extended mercy and forgiveness? Do we believe him when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me? A hard word in a pluralistic culture, a word to which we do not so readily say amen anymore, but in fact a word to which we must say amen. Do we believe Jesus when he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me, for whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake would save it? An equally hard word in a pluralistic, narcissistic, self-centered, self-promoting culture. On the one hand, only Jesus. On the other hand, give up everything for Jesus. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Do we believe that he accomplished our redemption, our atonement, from the power and the penalty of a very real thing called sin, on a bloody cross of pain and punishment, and he cried out, it is finished. And with those words, it is finished, he harkens back not just to the first creation, when God created all things and it was finished and it was good, but he's hearkening to the new creation, the fuller picture, the full orb of all that is ours. It is finished. He atones for our sins. He brings us into the reality that is our future. Do we believe this?
Amen.
Do we believe that on the third day our Lord was raised from the dead? This is the whole ball game right here as a believer. This is it. On the third day he rose from the dead. If he didn't rise from the dead, we are fools to be pitied, Paul says. If he didn't rise from the dead, we are wasting our time on a Sunday morning. If he didn't rise from the dead, we are dead in our sins and we have no hope. If he didn't rise from the dead, we should just embrace the nihilism of our culture and its existential angst and say, it's all over, I am nothing, going nowhere. But he rose from the dead. Sin and death and hell were conquered and the power of the evil one destroyed. Do we believe that Jesus is the good shepherd of the sheep? And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil because he is with us. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Do we believe in the extravagant, undeserved forgiveness of our God who has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins? Do we believe that Paul, when he writes that all the promises of God, he says, are yes and amen in the same Jesus? Do we affirm that everything points to Jesus? Everything is fulfilled in Jesus? Everything is ours in Jesus? We stand firm in Jesus? We are set apart to follow Jesus? Astoundingly, we are co-heirs with Jesus. That God has set his seal of ownership on us, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So that no matter what sufferings we face in the name of Jesus, we know, as we heard so beautifully in song, we belong to him. And not even the gates of hell can prevail against the Lord and his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And this is why our hearts resonate with the apostles' words that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new. And do we long to be ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of the gospel, the good news that there really is a Savior who really does transform? So we too are compelled with the love of Christ, which compelled Paul. Does Romans 10 stir up within us a call to holy gospel action? How then can they call on the one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one they've not heard? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do we embrace the words of the Apostle Peter when he says, echoing the depths of Scripture, you are a chosen people to the church. Yes, you here are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging again to God. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Amen?
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, there's a lot. I've just been cherry picking, obviously. A lot more that we can affirm this morning in worship. But I want to ask you one more thing. It's the way the Bible ends, actually. Do you resolutely bank your hope on the truth that the King of Amen, in fact, the one who is called the Amen in Revelation 3:14, that King Jesus is coming again? And when he does, all the wrongs will be dealt with, and justice will prevail. Evil will be vanquished. The fullness of new creation beauty and the matchless glory of God will cover all creation as the waters cover the sea. Amen?
Amen.
When push comes to shove, do we believe John, who records Jesus saying to his often fearful, beleaguered people, "Yes, I'm coming soon," Revelation 22:20. Do we long for his coming? Does our heart ache for his return? Does it make us viscerally feel and urgently live forth this mission entrusted to us through millennia, such that we respond to his promise to come again, crying out in accord with the Scriptures, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus." Let me hear you say that. Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Indeed, because this is the longing of our hearts and the goal of our souls and the consummation of our salvation, until his coming, we have this final promise of the Bible. The final promise of the Bible to empower us in mission and encourage us all our days. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all God's people. Amen. Please rise.